Your national orienteering podcast. Map and compass, navigation skill, orienteering competition.
Jeg bommet noe jævlig på bossen her oppe.
Running like a motherfucker. Your national orienteering podcast.
Really, really welcome to Your national orienteering podcast. And now we are into the Easter holiday, and there is lots of races to talk about in this episode. The relay season in Sweden has started, Ivar, and I know that when you were running for SNO or Södertälje, what you call it, how was it for you to start with Mosen-stafetten?
Yeah, Mosen-stafetten was really the start of the season for us. It was something we talked about for a long time. Unfortunately, I never had the pleasure to win it. Often we had, we used to go with two or three teams that were quite even, and we had no chance against Linné coming with Riedefeldt, Sjöberg and Andersson and so on. So I think back in my days, they were winning basically every year.
We also, I have also been running for Södertälje, and we also had the same tactic back then with the quite equal team. But the level was much higher in Södertälje then, so we managed to win with one of the team often. No, I'm just joking. But from jokes from me, we can go to some serious issues coming out from IOF about the Orienteering World Cup from 2025.
Yeah, so yeah, the headline is that the Orienteering World Cup enters a new era from 2025. But I think it's going to feel pretty much like the same for us that are on the outside. I think the new thing really is that there is now three main players, you can say, that is going to be involved on a very regular basis. Switzerland, of course, Sweden, and also Czech Republic. I think in the next 5 years, there will be a World Cup round in Switzerland every year. And then Sweden and Czech Republic at least will have every second year or something like that. So, yeah, it will be interesting to see what it will turn out to be in the end. But I expect it to be quite similar to now, where you have a World Cup season that contends of the, you have the European Championship, you have two more World Cup rounds, and then with the World Champs, you end up with having four rounds of international orienteering, where you have two, three, four races maybe in each place. And I think that's, something to build on. Back in the days when you were my age, so if you jump 10-15 years back, then there was much more World Cup races, but often like one race here, one race there. I remember, I think it was 2006, it was one race in Norway and then one race in Finland and so on, and the overall season was 13-15 races, and that was good in some ways because orienteering was, the World Cup season was long and there was a lot of races, and that's good, but it was not so attractive for the athletes, with a lot of travel, it was expensive. And I think that the trend we've seen the last 6, 7, 8 years, at least after the Nordic Tour stopped with 2-3 World Cup rounds and then the championships, I think that's a good way to go further, go into the future with the World Cup.
Yeah, it looks like they were on the right road here to get a product, as we like to say, a good product for everyone.
Yeah, but there's also room for improvement. And I wish there was a fourth player in the game. I wish the Finnish Orienteering Federation had been involved as well, because I think it would have been really, really cool if there was a World Cup round in Finland the weekend before Jukola every year. The same should be in Sweden the weekend before Tiomila every year, because everyone is going, all the top runners are going to Tiomila and they're going to Jukola. And then if you have races, for example, Saturday, Sunday and Tuesday before Tiomila, before Jukola, then you could have more high quality events without increasing the amount of travel and so on. But yeah, maybe in the next new era, then we might see that.
Long time ago, it was this Forza phone games, the Thursday before Jukola. And there you got a mobile phone if you won the competition. And it was 1.5 minutes starting interval, and all the good runners was taking part. So that was a really high quality event the Thursday before Jukola. But it was not world. But there has also been World Cup in a couple of days before Jukola. But that was just an competition with high quality and good prices. But from high quality World Cup and good prices, we can take a look at which club who has done some on the market, transfer market, before this season to get some prices that we have been forgetting to talk about earlier on.
Yeah, I think the silly season is more or less finished now, but there's some things that have been announced in the last month or so that we haven't been lifting up to in our podcast. I think the most notable one is the Spanish Luis Nogueira. He's been running for he used to run with you back in Kristiansand a long time ago, I think. The last 6, 7, 8 years he's been running for Stockholm club Attunda, but now from this season he will represent MS Parma. And I think that's a really interesting transfer, because yeah, Luis Nogueira is a very good runner, even if he's not the guy you see in the top 10 at World Championship and so on. I think he has a 15th place from the European Championship in Estonia 2 years ago. He was in the top 20 in the long distance at World Champs last summer. He's been running some really, really good first legs for Attunda, been coming back in the top 10 at both Timil and Jukola. And MS Parma is a club that have a few very, very good runners, and then a solid depth with the stable Finnish runners and some young promising talent like the Estonian Jörgen Jonas. But yeah, another strong addition there will make them having even better teams in the relay, and they are already good. They were in the top 10 at Jukola last year, and a team that should definitely contend for a top 10 also in Tiumila.
You know, they got a lot of money at Jukola 2 years ago, and then they went to Spain to use them at buying Luis. I'm making a joke here, but
I don't think he's that expensive, but yeah, we'll see. And then we have some in Sweden, Henrik Jonsson. He's been running for Södertälje the last few years, last year he was running. Before that, he had some big injury and was basically out of competition mode for 2-3 years. But he had a good relay season last year. I think he was the guy that was running in front of the pack at the third leg in Tiumila. He was the first to change over at Stig Tomta. And he's a very, very good relay runner. And now he's going from Södertälje to UK Kåre. And if there is one club that needs depth, it's UK Kåre, because they have some very, very good runners in Isak Konkursenstjerna, Eskil Kinneberg, Jonathan Gustafsson. Jonas Gustafsson. But yeah, they have been, especially in Tiumila, they've been struggling a lot with the guy number 7, 8, 9, 10, losing a lot of time. And Henrik Jonsson is a guy that will make a big, big difference. Also in the Jukola team, but especially for the Tiumila team, this is a transfer that can mean 10 minutes for UK Kåre in the big relays.
And also UK Linné is getting a bigger depth.
Yeah, not that they need it, because they have one of the biggest depths you can have in the men's side of international orienteering. But yeah, I think it was some months ago, then we said that the young New Zealander junior Kaya Jørgensen is going to UK Linné, and she's also being followed by another New Zealander, Sefa Faveye, the guy that was in the top 6 at the J-Walk long distance last year, still a junior this year. He made his debut for UK Linné in Mosenstafetten, and he's going to run for Linné in the future. I think that's in short term, it doesn't matter that much for Linné, but I mean, he's very, very promising coming from New Zealand, top six in the J-Walk. Then you are a really, really good runner already, and you have big, big potential. So it would be interesting to see how it turns out if we look 5 years down the 5 years down in the future or something like that. We know that, yeah, New Zealand has a strong connection with Ukko Linné, with Matt Ogden. And now both Kai Jørgensen and Sefa Faye is following in his footsteps.
And Ukko Linné, they have very good terrain and good technical trainings. And if you have Albin Riedefeldt as kind of a mentor in that club, that could be a good solution. Or what?
Yeah, definitely. And I think Uppsala, it's a good environment for those people that are living far away from Sweden, that they can come for longer, shorter periods. Because in Uppsala, everything is so compact. There's so many runners. You have Nosten, where they have the clubhouse, and Lundsen, very close to the city. So within reach, there is a lot of interesting orienteering possibilities. And obviously it worked out pretty well for Matt Ogden, and I guess it will work out pretty well for these guys as well.
Talking about the technical terrain in Sweden, we moved to fast running and not so technical, I think, in Denmark. It was three races in a row in Denmark this weekend, with starting with the Danish champs in night on Friday.
Yeah, good proper night orienteering championship with individual start, not too long courses. But yeah, I mean, for the women it was only 50 minutes, but for the men it was almost 70. Not the biggest starting field, but yeah, we know that the depth of the Danish elite is not that big, so there's not that many runners competing at the high level. In the women's class, double victory for Tisvilde Hein with Agnes Nørgaard Kracht ahead of Ida Øbro. Quite big margin, almost 3 minutes. And then Hedvig Gydesen, the very strong sprinter, she took the bronze medal, but she was 6.5 minutes down. So big, big gaps on the women's side. And also on the men's side, we had similar gaps where the young Asbjørn Kaltoft beat the even younger Oscar David Broman Jensen with 3 minutes. And then Malte Kjær Hemmingen was number three, but he was more than 6 minutes down. So yeah, good races from Asbjørn Kaltoft. He's one of those guys that, he was at J-Walk and so on, but yeah, he didn't really do that impressive results. I think he was in around 40 or something at J-Walk. But obviously in Danish terrain, he's really good. And he's been improving since his junior years. And yeah, I think last year he was in the top 30 of a World Cup. So he definitely has potential. Top 30 at the long distance in the first year in elite at World Cup, that is very good.
Yeah, that's really good. And shortly after after this night champs, it was back on the horse again for Asbjørn on the long distance.
Yep, and he took the second victory in two days. So second victory in less than, 15, 20 hours maybe.
Yeah, I got some comments from him. He says that it was a tough program with long distance, 12 hours after a hard night champs. So he calculated it to 12 hours.
That's not a lot. But yeah, I think he's 22 this year. When you're that young, then you can still do these things. It's much harder when you've been running elite class for 10, 15 years. Then you recover a bit slower. But yeah, Asbjørn Kaltoft, he recovered quickly, took a quite clear victory. Again, winning with almost 2 minutes out of Samu Heiska. And Samu Heiska, he's a very good runner. He's been running World Cup and so on for Finland. So he's very, very competent. And also Akseli Virtanen in third place was almost 5 minutes down. So that's testament of Asbjørn Kaltoft being in good form and doing two good races here.
Yeah, he's telling that it was some really fast terrains this weekend. And he had yeah, kept the high speed and with not decreasing the speed any much, and he decreased also the mistakes. So he was really satisfied with the Friday and Saturday's races, and it was a good start of the season for him.
Yeah, and then talking about mistakes, because that was what was deciding the women's class on the long distance, because Amanda Klein came to the finish with the fastest time, but she had made a miss punch on her way to the finish, punching another control, I don't know, 75 meters, 100 meters or something from the control she was supposed to have. And then, you know, it doesn't matter if you have the fastest time when you don't have all the controls. So she was disqualified, meaning that Sabine Aumo is winning the long distance 2 minutes ahead of Nicoline Friberg-Schlesner, and then with the Norwegian Jan Åsheim in third place, 4 minutes down. So yeah, Sabine Aumo, we've spoken about her earlier this winter when she was winning Portugal U-meeting in very, very impressive fashion. And she's still in good form, even if, yeah, maybe Pom was a bit of a surprise. I don't think it's a surprise that she's winning here in this field.
No, she's also telling that she's not so satisfied with the race, actually. And she's telling that some of the Danes that ran the night champs may didn't go for full speed this Saturday. And she's not so used to this kind of terrain going with the compass so much. But she thought maybe the Sunday's race for her was better.
Yeah.
Even if she was beaten then.
Yeah, on Sunday she even dropped down out of the podium, so she was only number four. In the women's class, Hedvig Gidesen won 8 seconds ahead of Agnes Nøgaard-Kracht. I think Agnes Kracht did not run the long distance. She won the night, and then she didn't start the long distance, and now she was second in the middle distance. And then Amanda Klein, she managed to get all her controls correctly on Sunday, and therefore she got the third place this time, edging out Sabine Aumo with 2 seconds for the last spot on the podium.
And in the men's class, it was Oscar David Broman Jensen who won the middle distance on Sunday.
Yeah, his first year elite runner this year. And we have mentioned his name quite a lot already this season because he's been running a lot of races and he's been doing good results. And here he won with 1.5 minutes ahead of Asbjørn Kaltoft, with Marius Strand Ødem in third place and Malte Kjær Hemmingsen just outside the podium. Between number two and number four, it was only 13 seconds. So really, really close. But Oscar David Broman Jensen was in a class of his own here. And I think it's looking at these young Danish runners here in the season start, both Kaltoft and Broman Jensen delivering good races repeatedly. That's very, very interesting. I think, yeah, of course, you have in Denmark, you have Søren Tran Ødum. He's established himself at the high international level, but behind him it's been a bit empty. But now you have two very, very promising guys that are 21 and 22. So maybe maybe within a few years we have a Danish relay team, for example, at the World Championship or European Championship that can be competitive also on the men's side.
Yeah, and Oscar, he telling that it was almost a perfect race for him this Sunday. After taking a bit easy on the long distance, his body was feeling fresh and good, and he actually could see that Asbjørn Kaltoft came to the finish, and he knew which time he had to beat to be the winner. He thought it was a good sign for him that the shape is really good, and he's looking forward to the Swedish League next weekend.
Yep, and then mentioning Swedish League, then we can jump to Sweden, where it was the traditional Målsenstafetten and also the equally traditionally Nyköpingsnatten and Nyköpingsorienteringen. Every year, there's a night mass start with loops and forkings and so on. And then on Saturday, a long distance, but, you know, a Swedish long distance, so it's not that long. And then the relay on Sunday. always with good starting fields. This year, very, very good starting field, both in the men's class and the women's class.
Yeah, we can start to look at the night race in the women's class.
Yeah, in the women's class, I think normally you don't see that many women running these kind of races. But of course, this year with Tiomila offering night legs, one would guess that these kind of night races in the spring would be more attractive. And we saw some really good runners taking part here. And the best of them were Anne Dyrkorn. No surprise, fourth place in World Champs last year, middle distance. Fourth place at European Championship in Estonia. She is a very, very competent orienteer and also a very, very good night orienteer. She won with half a minute ahead of Anna Ulvensson. And then Magdalena Olsson from Stora Tuna was number three. So here we saw some of the favorite teams when it comes to Tiomila in 1.5 months' time. Nydalen and Stora Tuna having at least one good night orienteer each. You need two for Tiomila, so it looks good for them.
We're also noting that the ski orienteering racer Magdalena Olsson is running night here instead of doing the Swedish champs in ski orienteering this weekend.
Yeah, and I guess that's a testament for Stora Tuna. They are having big ambitions for Tiomila this year. And yeah, I think they have a really good team, of course, with Tove Alexandersson as the superstar, but also with Marie Olausen and last year's Swedish champions in Noko Sprint and Ultra Long, Tilda Östberg and Rebecca Heinrup. And then Magdalena Olsson shows that she can run a night leg, probably doing it very good. So then you have a very solid team, and then we'll see who the last one in the team is. But yeah, I think Stora Tuna is one of those teams that can challenge IFK Göteborg. It's not going to be easy to challenge them, but it is possible. And then they need runners like Magdalena Olsson to run at this level.
We can look at the men's class here. It was a bit tighter.
Yeah, only 7 seconds between the winner Simon Imark and Benjamin Näslund. But then there was a gap down. But in the top 10 here, there are so many good runners. You have in third place Jesper Svensk, fourth place Eskil Kinneberg, fifth place Noel Brown, sixth place Emil Granqvist, seventh place Emil Sernis, and so on. So yeah, top 9 was within 2.5 minutes, and then there was a gap down to the next group. I think the men said that it was 3 loops with forkings, so it was, of course, you run a lot with other runners, but it also, with these many loops and these many forkings, it is possible to break loose, like Imark and Benjamin Näslund did.
Yeah, and if we look going to the long distance here in the Saturday, yeah, it was even longer winning time in the women's class, and we all, of course, start with them.
Yeah, so the women's, they actually had a winning time of 61 minutes, so 6 minutes longer than the men's. And I think that can partly be pointed at that in the women's class, it's a good starting field, but the big names, they are missing. Of course, Anne Dyrkorn was running, but she had not her best race, and she was only in fifth place. The winner was Helena Karlsson, running for Nydalen, the Swedish runner that's been living in Oslo the last few years. Ahead of Alva Olsson and Lena Eliasson Löf. So, yeah, on the podium, 3 Swedes, both of them with experiences from the Swedish national team. If we go back a few years, all, of course, very, very good orienteers, but not at the level that you will see them at the World Cup this year, for example. And then, yeah, further down, in fourth place, Olivia Nilsson, one of these. Yeah, you have a lot of these Swedish runners that are pretty, pretty good, but not in the national team discussion. On the men's side, there's a lot of them. On the women's side, it's not that many, but there's still plenty. And Olivia Nilsson is one of those girls that are, often in the top 20 at the Swedish League and Swedish champs and so on. But you never see her represent Sweden at the elite level internationally.
Helena Karlsson, who wins this race, comes from racing at the skiing race Birkebeiner race in Norway last weekend to running here in orienteering, and she's winning after what she's calling a stable race only a few mistake. And she, yeah, after training for this skiing race, she felt strong physically. And it was a good experience for her this Saturday in the Nyköping forests.
Yeah, and then we can jump to the men's side. And here we have a really, really good start field. I mean, with a lot of runners that have been doing a lot of good performances internationally the last few years. Simon Hector took the victory 1.5 minutes ahead of Anton Johansson. Henrik Johannesson in third place. He had a not so impressive season last year, but in 22 he was in the top 10 at European Champs long distance, and now it seems like he's maybe closer to the level he had in 22 and not the level he had last year. Fourth place, Eskil Kinneberg. Yeah, officially retired from the Norwegian national team, but still training a lot and still running at a very high level. Fifth place, Johan Ek Larsson. Sixth place, Viktor Svensk. I mean, this is a list of very, very good runners. And Viktor Svensk in sixth place is 4 minutes down on Simon Hector. So I think Simon Hector, he must have done a really, really good race.
About Eskil Kinneberg, are you following him on Strava?
Yes.
Yeah, so, would you say he has retired?
Well, he's still training a lot, but I would say it is significantly less than it was last year. But I guess that maybe says more about how much he trained last year.
Yeah, I think he said after the relay on World Champs last year that he would not say he will retire because he will still train a lot. So yeah. But this Saturday it was about Simon Hector, I think, and he is quite satisfied with his race. He felt a bit unusual to keep the pace for so long time because during the winter he has been running a lot of intervals. But he kept it good and stable with less than 1 minute mistakes and. It was good physically, and he's looking forward to the real competitions now after a winter with some new ideas in training. But he is not telling which ideas he has put into the training, but it looks like it has worked well for him.
Yeah, and I think Simon Hector has been running well in the winter as well, in some world ranking events previously in down south, and it will be very interesting to see what he can do this spring season. You know, yeah, most of the Swedish national team are focusing on the sprint race until the World Championship. But yeah, Simon Hector is more of a pure forest orienteer, so I guess that will be that could be visible in the big forest races in the early part of the season, for example, in the coming weekend with the Swedish League. Then I think the people that are focusing on sprint might be at a slight disadvantage versus guys like Simon Hector.
Yeah, and we had a peak of sneak peek for the relay. There is this relay league in Sweden. It will start in 1 week, but Mårtensstafetten get us a bit of a sign how the teams are in shape and how they will set up, maybe.
Yeah, and the Mårtensstafetten is with four legs, while the relay league on the coming weekend, that's only with three legs. So of course, slightly different. And then here, maybe a bit less clubs are here with the best teams. But yeah, we still saw some very, very exciting racing in the women's class. After almost 3 hours of racing, it was just over 3 minutes between the top six. And it was a interesting fight the whole way, with a slight surprise victory for me, I would say, with the Iko Hope winning. Of course, when you look at the team, they are very solid, but not the team full of very, very experienced superstars. The team was with Hilda Holmqvist Johansson, Sara Granstedt, Tilda Palm, and Annika Simonsen. And yeah, for those who are not following the Swedish orienteering that closely, I mean, you probably know about Annika Simonsen. She's been representing Denmark for World Champs and World Cups and so on. Hilde Holmqvist Johansson had a very good jaywalk 2 years ago. And the other two is also really good, but yeah, quite young. And yeah, you see them in Sweden a little bit down the result list in the Swedish league. I think Tilda Palm is I'm mixing them up now, but one of them is still a junior, I think, and one of them is a little bit older. I must say that I can't really keep up with all the Swedish orienteers, so sometimes I mix them up. But yeah, very good running from the start to finish. Hilda Holmqvist Johansson on the first leg lost a bit more than 1 minute, and then they climbed steadily towards the top, and Annika Simonsen ran the last part of the last leg solo and took the victory with 2 minutes margin down to Uko Linné, that won the sprint ahead of IFK Göteborg and ahead of NTNU. A Norwegian battle there on the last leg with Pia Jongvik for Linné beating Victoria Hestad Bjørnstad and Anne Dyrkorn at the end. And then Västerviks took the fifth place. They were leading after three legs. Very, very good race there from the junior Tilda Sundqvist on the third leg, taking them to the lead. But the experienced Lena Eliasson Löf didn't have her best race on the last leg, and she got beaten by the younger girls there.
Yeah, she was together with the pack of Norwegians there for a while on the last leg, but she dropped down.
Yeah,
talking about Eliasson on the last leg, she dropped down there. This relays in the spring, we look at it as a preparation for Tiomila maybe, and there are some interesting things to look at other than who was winning and winning the sprints.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the team like IFK Göteborg, it's definitely not their best team. So it's not a big disappointment that they're only third here. I mean, last year they were 1-2 at Tiomila, but they were not running with the best team here with the two Kjellvik Löfven sisters and Signe Hørdegård. And then Victoria Hestad Bjørnstad. I think only Victoria Hestad Bjørnstad will be in the discussion for the first team at Tiomila, but we will see. The same with Entwini, not here with the best teams. I think Västervik, they are very impressive, even if Lena Eliasson was losing a bit time on the last leg, because they have also some other good runners to fill in, like the two Carlson sisters, and also one of the Friberg listener. Is it Nicoline that runs for Västervik? I think it's Nicoline, or it could be Cecilia. I don't know. But yeah, also, if you look down a bit in the result list, I think very interesting to see Järla in seventh place. They lost a lot of time on the first leg, but then they were running good on the last three legs. And especially worth noticing that Gunvor Hov Høydahl, the junior world champion from 2014 in the long distance, she had the fastest time on the two short legs. So yeah, the leg two and three were a bit shorter, and she had the fastest time on these two legs. So she's obviously in good form. And yeah, with Caroline Olsson also running good on last leg. I think Järla is a team that, they are definitely not among the favorites for Tiomila. But if they get all the runners at the start line and they have a little bit of luck, and yeah, then it's possibilities for them to get a really good result in the end. But it will be hard to repeat the victory from 2018 in the same terrain.
Yeah, that will be tough, definitely. But one team that has not been winning Tiomila for a while, but being the Jukola Masters, Stora Tuna, they starting their relay season on top in the men's class.
Yeah, and I don't think that's a big surprise. They had a really, really good team at the start line with Jesper Svensk, Joachim Svensk, Victor Svensk, and then Henrik Johannesson on the last leg with Emil Svensk missing from a full Svensk team. And yeah, they were dominating this relay. They were in the lead from beginning to end. Jesper Svensk won the first leg. Joachim Svensk came solo in the lead back on the second leg. Victor Svensk increased the lead from 1 minute to 4 minutes, and then Henrik Johansson could cruise in on the last leg, letting Kasper Fosse and IFK Göteborg come a little bit closer, but not anywhere close to be really challenging in the end of the race.
Yeah, that was interesting. Do you think he was nervous when Fosse went out 4 minutes behind?
I guess Henrik Johansson, after he was really good on Saturday, so he should be confident about if he has a gap of 3-4 minutes. Of course, you never know with Kasper Fosse, but yeah, on a course that is about 45 minutes, that's quite a big margin. So I don't think he was too stressed about it.
But if it had been Gustav Bergman, then he had to be worried.
Yeah, because Gustav Bergman was running really, really fast last leg, and he was actually, that's funny because Kasper Fosse, he started 4 minutes and 22 seconds behind Henrik Johansson, and Gustav Bergman, who was the fastest on the last leg, he was 4 minutes and 22 seconds faster than Henrik Johansson. Then obviously you can guess that Johansson maybe cool down a little bit on the from the last control to the finish and so on, which you normally do in the relays when you're winning with big margin. But yeah, Gustav Bergman is definitely in good form. He was running for Uko Ravinen's second team because Ravinen, they were unlike Stora Tuna, which went full gas with the first teams. Uko Ravinen had two teams that were more or less equal. So Gustav Bergman, he started in 18th position and took Uko Ravinen all the way up to 4th. With a great last leg, but he couldn't catch Jonas Landersson that was running the last leg for Södertälje Kvarn and secured the third place for them. Behind Uko Ravin, we have a quite interesting list of clubs that are not normally this high up in the relays. Snettring in fifth place, another good race from Simon Hector on the last leg, taking them up from 9th to 5th. IFK Umeå in sixth place. They also had a very, very strong end with the last two legs run by Erik Hanrup and Benjamin Neslund, climbing for 24th after two legs to sixth place in the finish. And then Uko Kolmården with a very good relay in seventh place. And then Stora Tuna, second team in eighth place. So a very, very impressive day from Stora Tuna overall with a clear win. And then the second team is in eighth place, just 1.5 minutes away from the podium. Definitely a good start of the relay season for Stora Tuna, and I think it says a lot about their intention for the relays this year.
Yeah, definitely. And Victor Svensk, who was running the second last leg, he is satisfied. Every one of them made a stable orienteering, and they were really satisfied. And Jesper Svensk, who ran the second leg for the team. No, he was running the first leg. He is quoted on being in the lead at every radio control through the whole relay. That's okay, he says, with a smiley. And they're hoping to do kind of the same in the relay in Skåne coming up now, and fighting for another victory there.
Yeah, and I mean, yeah, of course, there Mosnes warm up, then is Swedish League relay. The Swedish Relay League is a little bit bigger, but of course, it is Tiomila that is the big prize in the spring. We know that Stora Tuna has an extremely good Jukola team, so seven guys really, really good. And then this year with the newcomer Ville Johansson, they are up to 8 guys that are stable, performing at a high level. And I think it looks really, really good for them now because, yeah, we saw Anton Forsberg in the second team. He ran the third fastest time on the second leg. William Pomme ran an okay leg. Henrik Patrici had a really good second leg also in a mixed team. And from what I've seen on Strava, both Erik Liljeqvist and Jakob Enmark is training more this year than maybe the last few years. So I think Stora Tuna is getting closer to solving the big problem in their team, which had been the depth of runner 7, 8, 9, 10. And yeah, as it is now, I think Stora Tuna is going to win Tiomila this year. I think I said that in the prediction phase for 2024, with that we had in the beginning of January. And hey, as it is now, I'm feeling more confident about that statement.
Should we jump from the relay in Sweden? Before we do that, we can take with us the quote from the anchor runner for Iko HP Husqvarna in the winning ladies team there. She said that the recipe to win this relay was that every girl in the team was staying to the plan and running stable, and we managed to do all solid stable performances, and are really satisfied. And in Czech Republic there was two sprint races with quite good participation in the men's class, at least.
Yeah, I think we said last episode that we weren't sure about the quality of the start list here, because I had only checked the entered runners in the international event tour, and there are a lot of the runners that actually turned out to be running, they were not on that list. So it was in the men's class, it was a really good start field, and then in women's class we have some of the best Czech runners, but not the biggest names. I think the first sprint was in some part of a Sioux area or something like that. Even a few contours in the forest at the first part of the course, so not really the typical sprint you expect from a sprint world ranking event, but still interesting racing. And of course I'm never against having some contours in the forest, so it even looked a little bit like a sprint I could enjoy running. But yeah, in the men's class, a clear victory for Jakob Klonek, beating Yannick Michels with 32 seconds. Ole Henseler, the German, in third place, was only a second behind Michels. And then just outside the podium, we had Wojciech Kral and Martin Rudny. So, yeah, I mean, these are runners you see getting good results in World Cup races. So, very high level of the starting field. And, yeah, I think Jakob Klonek is one of the guys we should definitely watch out for in the first half of the season when there's a lot of big sprint races. He's had some good results before, and he looks to be on good route so far this year.
And in the women's class, there was also a clear victory.
Yes, Jana Pekarova. She won 20 seconds ahead of Lucy Semikova, with Jana Petrova on the third spot. Here it was close. I mean, four runners within 32 seconds. So from second place to fourth place, it was only 11 seconds. So, but yeah, pretty close behind Jana Pekrova. But when you win a sprint race in 20 seconds, even if it's a bit longer sprint than normal with winning times of around 16 minutes, I would say 20 seconds is pretty clear margin.
It was quite clear. And but it was really tight for Glonek in the second race of the weekend.
Yeah, then it seems to be more of a more of a normal sprint maybe, more of a normal sprint and also a bit closer. Jakob Klonek, second victory in 2 days, but only 3 seconds ahead of Yannick Michels. And then we had another German in third place, Ricardo Casanova, only 8 seconds down. That must be He's a guy I've seen been running internationally quite a lot the last few years, but this result seems to be a bit better than what he's been doing previously. So obviously he's had a good winter training and maybe ready to take a step up closer towards the absolute elite of the world. Wojciech Kral with his second, fourth place, and then the young Daniel Bolachowski in fifth place was half a minute down.
And after two victories, Glonek is really satisfied with this weekend. But as you mentioned, he was afraid it should be too much show orienteering race with the Sioux or the Park. But it was quite fair and not as much show orienteering as he expected. And he had a yeah, what they call a perfect start of the season. And as you mentioned, it will be exciting to see how we will do in the first World Cup rounds, where there is a lot of sprint races.
Yeah, and I mean, I think he was in the top 10 at the World Championship back in Czech Republic in 21 in the sprint. So he has proven himself at the highest level before. And I mean, beating Jannik Michiels is always a sign that you're doing good sprint orienteering. So he should be optimistic in his position now, I would say.
Yeah, it will be it's good for the self-confidence to beat Jannik Michiels in a sprint. Definitely. And there was a girl who got some self-confidence also on this second sprint race by winning.
Yeah, so in the women's class, it wasn't that many foreign runners taking part. So we got another full Czech podium. Luci Semikova, the girl that was second or third at the J-Walk long distance in Turkey almost 3 years ago. She won here ahead of Jana Pekarova, the winner of the day before, and then Teresa Čekova in third place. Yeah, here it was a little bit more spread out than among the men, and the winning margin was 18 seconds. But yeah, I find it a bit harder to evaluate how good the performances are when you know, when you don't have that many runners at the that have been performing at the highest level internationally on the men's side. When you have guys like Glonek, Michiels and Kral in the start field, then it's kind of easier to get a picture of the level. But yeah, I guess we will see soon enough when the World Cups comes to Switzerland and to Italy, how these younger Czech girls can make it internationally.
Yeah, about Italy, we're moving there to this Muck races who was held. There was two sprint races, one on Friday and one on Saturday, ending this Muck sprint camp in Italy. And there it was quite some good names to the start and top of the results.
Yeah, so if you start with the women's class, the first day in the sprint, we had a big margin. But of course, that's no surprise when Tuva Alexandersson is on the start line. She won 45 seconds ahead of Josefine Lind, the Danish girl that is now running for Heming in Norway. She's living in Oslo. And we had another Danish girl in the last spot on the podium with Malin Agvik Kristiansson, edging out Vilma von Krusenstjern and Evli Kasiku for the last podium spot. On the men's side, it was much, much closer. We had a shared victory between Cornelius Björk and Martin Regborn, with Isak von Krusenstjerna only 5 seconds down. And then also August Molén, Tuukka Seppä, and Jonathan Gustafsson was within 15 seconds. So it was extremely close. And I think, yeah, I haven't seen the courses, but I read a lot of judgment on the courses on Strava from some of the involved runners. And obviously, apparently, this race on Friday was not so interesting, and it was described as a running race. So maybe that can explain why it was so close in the men's class.
Yeah, they're telling that also the runners, Tuve is telling that it was the race was okay, but it was a really easy sprint race. Just a couple of controls there where it was route choices. So it was mostly just running. And the same is also Martin Regborn telling. But he is also telling that it was really much much more difficult the second race. And there he did a really big mistake with almost 1 minute. So... yeah, you need to be focused and sprint. And Cornelius Björk, who shared the victory with the Regborn, is also telling it was pretty easy courses. But then you need to have a good flow in the high speed.
Yeah,
that's also... but I mean that Cornelius Björk is running in the same speed as Regborn is worth noting, I mean.
Yeah, that he had a good... autumn season last year, Björk, and he's still young. He's training really, really good and obviously taking steps year by year. So, I mean, he's one of the guys the Norwegian orienteering fans should be very optimistic about for the World Championship this summer. Maybe it comes too soon for him to fight for a medal, and maybe in 2.5 years' time he will be more ready. But he's definitely one guy to look out for, also in the individual sprint races, but especially in the knockout sprint races.
Yeah, and there was some Finnish guys who showed potential in this second sprint race here.
Yeah, I think that the results are also clearly showing that it was a completely different character of the race on Saturday. Friday was super fast, not so tricky. Sunday was much more trickier, and we see all new names up in the front. Teemu Oksanen, the young Finn, took the victory 3 seconds ahead of Tino Polsini from Switzerland. And Tuku Seppä, another young Finn in third place, was only 5 seconds behind. So really close between these three, but then the margins were bigger down. Håvard Eidsmo in fourth place was 20 seconds down. Mattia De Bertolis, Italian runner with a really good race here on home soil. And then Timo Suter in sixth place. And then we have to go all the way down to seventh place to find the best Swede of the day, Jonathan Gustafsson. So obviously the fast Swedes, they were more comfortable on the very easy sprint race on Friday, and they were struggling much more when it was much more technical on Saturday. I don't know if there is definitely not enough data to suggest something that the Swedish sprinters are not good in technical sprint races, but yeah, they have some work to do.
But Teemu Oksanen did the work quite well here, and he said that he is feeling well prepared with this really tricky sprint after camps in Italy and France lately. And good to see that the form is improving day by day and after some challenging week. So then he is up and running quite good technically and physically feeling good when the season is coming. And I think I saw him on the start list also for Swedish League the coming weekend. So then it can be interesting to see how his shape is also in Forest.
Yep. And then on the women's side, first day we had a big win by Tove Alexandersson. And it looked like she was going to take another big victory because she had the fastest time with about 1 minute. But she had forgot to punch she had not seen the second last control on the map and just run straight past it and to the last control. And therefore she got disqualified, meaning that we got a surprise victory here. Olena Babic from Ukraine, and she won with a big margin, 40 seconds ahead of Evely Kasiku, with Malin Agvi Kristiansson in third place, a few seconds behind Kasiku. And then another solid performance from the Italians with Jessica Lucchetta in fourth place, just over 50 seconds down. So yeah, a bit different results from the first day, also on the women's side. But yeah, a bit more similar names in the top 6-7 there, except to Alexandersson, who of course was disqualified. And then, you know, for this MOC, there is this overall classification where you just add the two times. And on the women's side, Olena Babic, she won the overall with 4 small seconds ahead of Malin Kristiansson, and then with Evely Kasiku in third place. So yeah, obviously the differences from the Friday sprint was not that big, as it wasn't that tricky, and therefore the Saturday race was a bit more deciding for the overall. And we see that also in the men's class, where Tuukka Seppä is winning ahead of Teemu Oksanen and Timo Polsini. Those three guys are the ones that were on the podium on the Saturday sprint.
From the sprint this weekend, we can look at what's coming up next weekend. And there is a lot of orienteering going on in the Easter.
Yeah, of course, in Easter, there is a lot of Easter races here and there. There is French Championship middle distance. We have the traditional JK in Great Britain. But the main course is, of course, the season start of the Swedish League and the first race of the Swedish Relay League, which is being organized in south of Sweden, in Skåne. And there is massive start fields with a lot of quality runners. You have, of course, some of the big names they are missing. Tove Alexandersson is not running, and Sara Hagström is also not running after she has had surgery just a few weeks ago. So on the women's side, two of the biggest names are missing, but it's still a lot of good runners.
Yeah, we can. I think this Swedish league and this first relay league are such big races that we can have some predictions when see how we are doing on that so early in the season. Of course, it's quite difficult, but I think we should try. They will start with the long distance on Friday.
Yeah, but you know, it's good to start early with the guessing so you can calibrate a bit before the really big races coming. It starts with the long distance. On the women's class, it's 95 entered runners, so really, really big. And I think the biggest favorite will be Hanna Lundberg, so I'm guessing she will be the winner. It will be interesting to see how the winter training has been going for her. She's been spending a lot of time in altitude in Font-Romeu, I think. So it will be interesting to see if her orienteering in the forest is also good, or if she's been focusing too much on just the running part and the sprint orienteering part. But I'm going for her as my number one. Caroline Olsson in second place. I think she had a rough season last year, and she wants revenge. And it's always good to, if when you want revenge, it's good to get it as soon as possible. And it's good to start the season on a high. So I guess she's very motivated. And then Marie Olafsson is my bet for the third place.
She is running for Stortuna, and in the men's class, you're guessing that there will be a Stortuna guy on the top of the podium.
Yeah, I'm a bit unsure of the form of Emil Svensk, and therefore I'm going for Viktor Svensk as my winner for the long distance. Yeah, his race on Saturday in Nyköpingsorienteringen wasn't that impressive, but he had the fastest time on the short leg on Mosen, and I've heard that he's going down to Skåne early to get some trainings in the relevant terrain to be top prepared. And also Viktor Svensk is, I presume he's not really going for the sprint races this year because he's not a sprinter. He's a proper forest orienteer, and I think that's an advantage. Second place, I'm going with Gustav Bergman. Very impressed by his relay run at Mosen, but of course Gustav Bergman is always running extremely well at these kind of relay races. So it's not always a great measurement of how good his form really is for a long distance, for example. But I guess he will be motivated. I think he's had some issues this winter, but yeah, it looked fine on Sunday, so I guess he will be fine also this weekend. And then the third spot on the podium goes for Simon Imark. But yeah, I mean, guessing with the Swedish men, that's really, really hard because they have so many guys that are quite even. And yeah, when one guy is dropping off 5% in performance level, another guy is overperforming a little bit. So, I mean, I guess you could rank guys like Martin Regborn, Simon Hector, Anton Johansson, Albin Riedefeld, and so on. Could also end up on the podium.
In the Swedish Orienteering magazine, there was a big story with Gustav Bergman in the issue that came last week, and he was telling that he was motivated to run world champs on home soil in 2029. So he will be going as an old tractor there also. But he was not going slowly as a tractor this week, and he says that it's feeling good, and it should be really cool to do some more competitions the coming weekend with a smiley, and I think he can be really good. And Viktor Svensk, I would not tell you before you were predicting here, but he's a bit unsure if his speed is enough and his form is good enough to be among the the really best this weekend, but he will try to have a good flow and both technically and in the running. But it will be really exciting to see in this long distance, and not least in the middle distance coming on Saturday.
Yeah, and I think the starting fields on the long distance is impressive. 95 women and 193 men. But in the middle distance, it's insane. Women's elite class, it's more than 150 runners entered. In the men's class, it's more than 280 runners. So here it will be Elite 1, Elite 2, Elite 3, and so on. I think on the women's side, I'm going for Hanna Lundberg, double victory this week. Second place, Johanna Riedefeldt. She had a good first leg at Mosen. Looks to be in pretty decent form. And then third place, Andrine Benjaminsen. She had some issues in the autumn, skipped the European Championship. And I'm not that sure how she's been training this year so far, if it's been going without any big issues. But yeah, when she's entered for these races, I assume that things are going pretty okay. And if she's at the start line in pretty okay condition, she has shown that she can be very, very competitive, even if she's not in top form. So yeah, I think that's a strong podium.
And not less strong podium in the men's class.
Yeah, if guessing long distance results with the Swedes are hard, the middle distances are horrible. But I'm going for Gustav Bergman to win. As you said, he's in good form, motivated, good mood. And the Swedish league has been Gustav Bergman's playground for the last 12 years or so. So he's always the favorite when there's a middle distance race in Sweden. Anton Johansson was challenging Gustav Bergman a lot last year in these Swedish league races, even beating him sometimes. So I'm going for him as number two. And then Simon Hector in third place. Both Anton and Simon, they were running good at in Nyköping this weekend. So yeah, I'm feeling pretty confident that they are in good form and are capable of performing a top result here.
Yeah, it looked like in Sörmland at least. And then we will see how it is in Skåne. And in the relay, will it be IK Hoppe Husqvarna and Stora Tuna again, or will we see some other teams taking the best positions here?
I think it will be really, really hard for IK Hoppe to win here. There are so many good runners here at Swedish League, so I expect the big clubs to be at a little bit higher level. Basically, all the top Swedish clubs are taking part. It's 105 enter teams for the women's side. 3 times 6 kilometers. It's going to be close battles, I think, with 6 kilometers in this terrain. I would guess the running time is around 35 minutes maybe per leg. So it shouldn't be that much big gaps between the teams. Some interesting foreign clubs are taking part. Iktisa is here with a good team. I think it's Hornik, Wisniewska, and Grossberger or Kutkaite, maybe, I don't know. But yeah, I think it's Kutkaite, not Grossberger. But a good team. Rasti Karut, they have been running really well in the Finnish Relay League the last few years. They seem to be here with all the best runners. Halden has potentially an interesting team. But yeah, I expect the fight to stand between the Swedish clubs and mainly between IFK Göteborg and UK Linné. IFK Göteborg is missing quite a lot of their best runners. Sara Hagström is not running. Simon Abishol is not coming to this weekend. Sanna Fast seems to not be on the start list for the individual races, so I guess she's injured again. I'm going for UK Linné as the victors, IFK Göteborg in second place, and then Iktisa as number three.
Yeah, interesting guessing there, but and also interesting start field, even bigger start field in the men's class. Almost 200 teams entered till this relay.
Yeah, so basically the first leg, the start is going to be almost as big as Jumila. 3 times 7 kilometers. I expect it to be very close here as well. With around 35 minutes. when you make one mistake, it's really, really hard to catch up back. So I think teams that is going to win needs to perform almost a clean race from start to finish. The start is really, really good. There are all the best Swedish clubs, of course, but also quite a lot of relevant non-Swedish teams that can be doing well. IK Listen, Usva Voima is maybe the best foreign team. You mentioned that Teemu Oksan is going. I think Eetu Savolainen is also going, and they have a few more of the top guys. But they're not the only one from Finland. Navi is here with a strong team. Tampere Pyrintö is not with the best team, but yeah, decent team. Maybe can be in the around top 10, top 15. It would be really interesting to see the Danish club Farum Tisvilde, what they can do. And also from Norway, there are some teams that are decent, but yeah, I would be surprised if they are fighting for the top three, top four, five. But yeah, Halden, Uppsala, and Tyrving are there with decent teams. But yeah, I assume it will be mainly four clubs that are fighting for it. UK Linné, UK Ravinen, IFK Göteborg, and Stora Tuna. IFK Göteborg, they have already put the teams in Eventur. They've been learning from last year. I think it was last year they forgot the deadline for Tiumila. And this year they've been putting out the teams really early. And in the first team, it's a very strong team. Håvard Eidsmo, Max-Peter Beimer, and Elias Jonsson. That's a really, really good team. We saw Eidsmo running well at the sprints in Italy. Beimer, we haven't seen much of so far, but he's always good when he's racing. And Elias Jonsson, I've heard some rumors that his winter training has been really, really good, and he ran really fast at this 8-kilometer gravel loop test they have in Gothenburg some weeks ago. So a very strong team, but I think they will be second because I think Stora Tuna will win. Emil Svensk, I'm not sure about his form, but when it's a relay, he's often turned on mentally and physically. And with Viktor Svensk, I think those two on leg 2 and 3 will be enough to take the victory for Stora Tuna. Then it will be interesting to see who is the other guy in the team. Maybe Jesper Svensk again after his good first leg, or it could be Henrik Johansson. But yeah, I'm going Stora Tuna 1, IFK Göteborg 2, and then UK Ravinen in 3rd. At Mosen, UK Ravinen, they went with two even teams, but now I expect them to be going for a full team. So very interesting to see who will be running with Gustav Bergman. I guess Axel Granqvist for sure, and then either Emil Granqvist or Hannes Mogensen. They have some good options.
Yeah, and good options. And in the Ravin team and even national orienteering podcast, we'll have a good summary after this relay and this competition weekend in both Sweden. And we will also look at, as you mentioned, the JK and the French Championship middle distance. But this was all for this episode. Thanks a lot for listening.
Bye-bye.
Mannen drog ut och löp orientering med kart och kompass och med riktiga sko. Sikta sågar ett bästa notering för kroppen var lätt och god.
Your national orienteering podcast. Map and compass, navigation skill, orienteering competition.
Jag har mött nå jävligt på bostad.
Running like a motherfucker. Your national orienteering podcast.